I want to preach out of a text that I've never preached from in many years of preaching, found over in John's Gospel, chapter number 4. John's Gospel, chapter number 4. I'd like to start reading today in verse number 46. John's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse number 46. It's great to be saved this morning. I don't take this lightly. I appreciate you coming to an old-fashioned church in this day and this hour. I'm not going another way. I'm going to stay with what's been working for me a long, long time. And to God be the glory and the power of the gospel. Now, in John's Gospel today, chapter number 4, verse number 46, the Bible reads like this: "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee." I sure am glad there's some places that Jesus will come again, where He made the water to wine. You see, Jesus will go around places where people are offended, but Jesus really does love Him coming back again, where He can do things with the people of God that want something to be done. Now, He comes again and He does His second miracle. He said there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea unto Galilee, he went unto Him and besought Him that He would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And there's a great crowd today that's trying to seek signs and wonders. And Jesus rebuked them about this. The nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." So Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in that which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You. You are a precious God. You are a personal God. And You are the all-powerful God. Lord, this morning, within this text that You've written by the Spirit of God, I pray that You'd firebrand it in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, would You do that only which preaching will do and can do this morning. But Lord, we realize that our help comes from the Holy One. Help us, I pray today, to be a blessing. Spirit of God, I pray in these last days, God, You'd teach me as Your preacher to magnify the precious Son of God. Help us now this morning. Touch our lives, our hearts, and our homes. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen. And amen. I want to preach today out of this passage, John chapter 4, on this certain nobleman. A certain nobleman. And there's some things that got my attention in this passage of Scripture. I find myself getting older in the Lord as they sung that song, "My steps are not as fast as they used to be. But by the grace of God, I'm a getting one in front of the other this morning." And I find myself more in these days as an older man walking by faith as I did a younger man. If there's ever been a day and an hour when I need God and when you need God, it is in this day and in this hour. Now you'll notice with this certain nobleman, in verse 46, there's a description. A description. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where He made the water to wine. Could you imagine being that marriage feast that day? And when the guests had ran out of wine, that Mary, the mother of Jesus, noticed it first. I've noticed this. You're not going to fool Mama. Somebody say amen. The ladies can look around and tell you if your wine's run out or not. But certainly Jesus took and He turned that water into wine. As the governor partook of it, he said, my, there's something different about you. Said, the world gives the best that they got first, but you saved the best you got to the last. I want to say it's been a joy serving God as a young man. But as an older man, it just gets sweeter and sweeter. And God gets more personal and more personal. So we find here a descriptive sermon. We see that it describes that Jesus came again where He did something the first time. Now, when Jesus saves you, I'm glad He don't have to come and do it again. But I will tell you this morning. I sure am glad that Jesus can come by and do things for us again and again and again. I'm glad when He passed by Bowden, Georgia the first time, I'm glad that He decided to turn again and come back through. I'm glad when He touched my life one time. I'm glad there's a God that's come by the second time and the third time. I'm glad God don't give up on us this morning. Now here, this certain nobleman, there was a description. But look, if you would, in verse 47, there's a disturbance. The Bible said that when he heard that Jesus was come out of Galilee, unto Judea and to Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. There's a disturbance. I can tell you that God will allow disturbance to go on in your life and in my life that He may get our attention. Matter of fact, if this disturbance had not went on at the nobleman's house, I doubt if he would have been concerned about what Jesus could do for him. It may be the greatest day in your life when God allows a disturbance to intervene. And you realize that it's not in you, and it's not in me, but it is the One that has a name above all names, the name of the King of Glory. Jesus can do something for you in your very discouraging situation. So we see in this message that there was a disturbance. Now, young people, I want to say something to you before I close this sermon today. You're not guaranteed to live as old as I am. You're not guaranteed to live as old as your parents. There's graveyards around this country that has tombstones that will remind us that everybody that is born don't grow old. So I want to tell you, young people, you accept the Lord as you have time, as you have opportunity to trust the Lord. I'm glad we had young people this week where the Word of God was shed abroad in their lives, and it's so impactful in ways that we don't even know about. This nobleman had a son that was at home, that was at the point of death. Now, let me know another third thought simply about this disturbance. A lot of people's always wanting to live maybe that second cut above. Nothing wrong with having a vision and dream. I've had several. God has given me the desires of my heart. You ought to apply yourself and work hard. But let me remind you, money cannot change your situation. Riches cannot fix that of which only our God can fix. This noble man was of high court. No doubt he was in the throne of Herod. He had great riches, but something come to his house that riches let him down. I'll remind you, honey, riches will let you down, but the Redeemer will bring you up this morning. And that God loves sinners today. The Bible said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is a friend of the publicans and sinners. He never said He was friends of the noblemen and the merchantmen. But He's friends of the lowly. Certainly we can see on today in Hollywood that great liberal media, the great ones that are at the left that have all the riches, their riches is going to burn up one day. They may make fun of the Christ of this Bible right now, but honey, every one of us is going to meet God on the same ground. We're going to give an account for our soul one day and what we've done through the glorious gospel where God sent His Son to die for your sin and my sin. Be sure the wages of sin is death this morning. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, there was a disturbance. This young man was at the point of death. Young people, I would love to think that you would grow old enough, as I've seen several in this ministry, to, as they start growing, they're married, have a life and family. But young people, you're not guaranteed that. But I'm going to tell you what you are guaranteed. Jesus loves you. And God sent Him to die for you. And if you will accept Him as your Savior, when you die, you can go to heaven. And if you die without Christ, hell will be your home. This morning, we see a descriptive passage. We see a disturbing passage. Something happened to this nobleman's house that disturbed him and made him realize that he couldn't fix his situation. Some of you this morning, you're trying to fix the situation at your house. But what you better realize, there's some things that only God can fix. And we need the Lord to help us in this day and this hour. Now this certain nobleman, this is what, as I read it, really unfolded, and I didn't think much about it as I read it the first time, but as I began to study this passage out, I noticed not only this description and this disturbance, but look in verse 48 at this great discussion. Now, the Bible said he heard of Jesus and he besought him he'd come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And all of a sudden, in verse 48, there's a discussion. Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you'll not believe. A discussion. Then 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. This is what Jesus said. He said, you'll only believe
because what you see.
You're looking for signs. You better watch these boys. It's always looking for signs. We've got the Word of God that is complete, that nothing can be added to, or nothing should be taken away. What God has said, He's meant what He said. I've heard people say, well, I know God spoke to me and called me to preach, and I'm going to preach if this happens. Well, in His Word enough? A lot of times God has spoken a word to us. And I want to say, in this Bible it teaches us there's a word that goes out corporately. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a word that goes out corporately. But I've noticed in living for God and reading this Bible, there's a word that goes out individually. You remember that day when the storm got up and Peter got out of the boat to go to Jesus? And he said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to You on the water. And He said, come. That was an individual word. You see, when Jesus speaks a word to us, He expects us to take Him at the value of His Word. His Word can be trusted. Let me tell you this. He said if you'd come unto Him, He would in no wise cast you out. You can take that word to the bank. He says that those that He saves, He has them in His hand. And no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. You can trust what this Bible says. Jesus said He's coming back. And He said there would be signs of times. I understand that. But honey, when God gives us a word and then we're looking for signs and miracles, we'd go a lot further in life if we'd just take God at His Word. So Jesus really rebukes him. I don't know if you caught that or not, but in this discussion, Jesus is real plain. I don't know why people's got an issue with a plain preacher. Jesus didn't run around the fort, and you never did leave where Jesus preached a sermon and say, now, what was he trying to say? You ever heard a preacher get up and he run around the fort and never did say nothing? And you leave there and say, well, what was he trying to say? I want you to leave here knowing what I can say this morning. You can take Jesus at His Word. So there's a discussion. Now, there's something happens that amazes me, and I hope if just a third of the congregation can see it this morning, it'll change our life. And I didn't see it till this morning as I was looking over this passage again. Now, let's watch our Bible. There's a discussion, but now in verse 50, there's a decision. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. There was a decision, but in verse number 50, I wonder, can you follow this outline? Not only has there been a discussion and a decision, but now there's a dependence. A dependence. And this is real unusual what happens. Now, let me ask y'all something. If you had a child, now let's think about it. He's 10 miles from his house where he goes and he finds Jesus. He heard Jesus was in town. It does matter where the gospel's preached and how the gospel's preached that others would hear. So he heard Jesus had come back to Cana of Galilee, and he comes with a great need in his life, and he's searching for the Lord, and he finds the Lord, and he lays this burden on the Lord. He says, Lord, my youngin's about dead. I need you to come down where I'm at. God said, I ain't got to come down there. He said, you're looking for signs. He said, won't you just trust what I can do? And then he said it again. Lord, come down ere my child die. And the Lord turned. There's a departure of how that He's left out, but now it's a dependence. He didn't go home that day. 10 miles, He could have got back in what? 3-4 hours? The way I walked in this heat, I'd been back in 8 hours. But I want you to see this dependence. This noble man didn't go back home that night. You know why? He was trusting God that said something. Man, I'd have had that thumb out, side of the road. I want to go see my young'un. Somebody say amen. Lord, I want to go see what You've done. There's a dependence. I wish that we could get into our lives spiritually, where we could depend on what the Lord said will come to pass. Wonder what He done that night. You say, why do you say that, preacher? Well, I'm going to close and give you this thought. Look what He does. In verse 50, there's a dependence. And He was said to him, go thy way, thy son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the 7th hour the fever left him. At 1 o'clock yesterday, when God said something, it went to his house. Can I tell you that distance is no object with God? All He's got to do is say something, and it happens. Could you imagine when the sun come up that morning, he's headed back to the house? And now you'll notice this man's great royalty because his servants met him. And so he asked that question. No doubt he, as the servants approached him and told him, said, thy son liveth. And he inquired unto them, he said, what time was it yesterday that the fever left? Could you imagine walking home as people met him? Maybe they seen him coming up the road trying to find Jesus. But after he had done talk to Jesus and Jesus put an anchor in his heart, he walked back down the road a different way. That's what me and you need this morning. Honey, I've noticed people can walk toward Jesus, but they're changed when they leave with Jesus. Had a smile on his face. He said, what are you smiling about, noble man? Met Jesus yesterday. We'd eat some lunch about 1 o'clock. Finally got a hold of him and he said, your son's going to live. And he said, I've walked out of there since he's told me that word with peace in my heart. You know, that ought to let all of us that are doing something for God, this ought to firebrand our heart this morning and let us realize this. We don't have to see statistics. We don't have to see numbers. We don't have to see things happening. We just got to trust in what the Lord has told us to do, that His words will not return unto us void. So many times, I'll be honest with you, there's been times here in 23 years I've got discouraged, not seeing people saved. But you know, the devil's never showed me what's going in these little ones. The devil's never showed me how couples are getting help out of the ministry and mom and daddies are growing close to the Lord. The devil would love to ensnare a preacher that he can't see nothing going on. We want to see things. Jesus says, you've got to quit trusting in what you're seeing. You've got to lose that concept. Everybody's looking for signs. Why don't we just take Him at His word? Now, I won't say this, I'm done. Faith cometh by hearing.
and hear Him by the Word of God. Brother Jerry, when the nobleman approached Jesus, Jesus rebuked him. He said, basically this is what He said, you need to quit looking for things. You need to quit looking for signs. He said, I can do something and you won't never see a sign. Because when you get back down there to your house, I'm going to be done something that you never seen me do. Church, may we just stay with the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God. Mom and daddies, would you just stay? Right now, them young ones look like they ain't had no raising and they crazy. You just trying to get a little glimmer of hope, but they just trying to grow just a little bit. Let me tell you something. Quit looking for signs. Just trust God at what He said, how to raise them children. Keep that Bible in front of them. Keep it in them. Keep it in them. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, you say, preacher, I've heard you preach that before. Well, why would you get down on a preacher that preached a sermon twice? Because we sang the same songs over and over. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Sheep are so forgetful. It's amazing to me when the Lord kept this Word in His life, how this man's faith grew. Listen, you might want to write this down. It really helped me. In the times of waiting, the bare Word of God is sufficient for us. Quit seeking a sign. Quit seeking a sign. And just take this at what He said and live it every day in your life. This morning, this certain nobleman, there was a description. Jesus came by. There was a disturbance. God allowed something in His life to get His attention to come to Christ. I wonder what it's going to take for you to get your attention to come to Christ. There was a discussion. Jesus rebuked him and said, you're looking for the wrong things. Just take My word at what I've said and it'll work. There was a dependence. There was a discovery. But verse 53, there was a deliverance. Look what happened at this man's house. The Bible says, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. Miss Emily, would you come this morning? This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when He was come out of Judea into Galilee. Folks, Jesus is not bound by distance. Jesus can do things a long way off this morning. As I ponder this text and ponder this principle in my life, you'll notice this, that and his whole house believed. You know, it's just something about a daddy believing. Thank God for the mothers. We have mothers here raising children and grandchildren. Thank God for mothers and women that will step up the plate and do that, what they have to do. But I want to say this. Most of the time, a whole family is saved when daddy believes. You know why? Daddy's supposed to lead the house. It ought not be an option with you Sunday whether you're going to church or not. Forsake not the attending of the house of God. Forsake not the assembling together. You say, well, I'm saved. Well, if you're saved, you will be attached to a local New Testament church if you write with God and line it up with this Bible. I've heard people say this, oh, I'm saved, preacher, I ain't got to go to church to be saved. That may be your opinion, but the Bible teaches differently.
You ain't got to go to church to be saved, but the Bible teaches when you get saved, you'll go to church.
That is so important that we go get God. I wonder, has anybody got anything that you need to go get God about this morning back at your house?
Oh, we love to make everything look like everything's perfect. But if we pulled the curtains back and looked inside, it would amaze you what's in our houses. We need the Lord. Could you imagine what that crowd of them noblemen thought about him when he left out and said, "Hey, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to get Jesus." "Well, ain't Herod enough? Ain't you riches enough?" "No. There's something going on in my house that only Jesus can do. I've heard what He's done for others. I'm fixing to go find out what He can do for me." Won't you come this morning?